for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday evening service of July the 5th, 1989, tape number 13B of the Summer Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the teacher for the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And in convention, Christian conventions, we'd have big crowds, you know, it'd seat, I think it was made to seat about 800 people. He never did have 100 on Sunday, not to this day. Well, he's not there anymore, but he didn't have 40 when he left, and he never had as many as 100 three Sundays straight. And of course, he was doing it by per instruction of the Lord, but I don't know. I question a lot of these things. I don't believe the Lord's all that confused. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I think the Lord doesn't say one-tenth of what he gets accused to say. Hallelujah. I really do. You know, everybody's got their own communication with him. Hallelujah. Most of the times when he's spoken to me, he just puts me on the spot. I rarely have had. I don't think I've had any just those fickle conversations with him. And then when he approaches me, he means business. I guess when he's just visiting, he visits some other folks. Every time he approaches me, he means business. Hallelujah. Amen. And puts me behind, sometimes he puts me in a tight spot when the Lord has spoken. And I think that's the way that he does it. I don't believe that. Oh, my goodness. I've had people come tell me, the Lord spoke to me to do this, and a week later they're doing something else. And this that the Lord spoke to them to do take 3 months. And a week later they already have quit this, and they're on something else. And they said the Lord spoke to them to do that. But what I'm saying, I just can't believe that the Lord's that confused. If he is, there's no hope for us in this chaotic position that we're in. Ah, yes. So Aaron made the children of Israel naked. He took away their hope. Their hope was Jehovah, the God of the universe. And they took away, he took away their hope and made them a God that hands could make. Violated everything that God had ever taught them, everything that God had ever said to them. He removed their hope and pointed them in a false direction. Isaiah said, and in that day we'll say, Lord, we've waited for you. Hallelujah. Others have turned aside, but we've waited. This is the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, people have, they're gullible. People are gullible, you know. Right. Everybody's, and you know, there's a hungering in the land. And the hungrier people get, the more reckless they'll get. They're hungry, so they'll just follow. Don't anything. You know, don't know the difference anyhow. And, I mean, they're not supposed to at that point. But there comes a time that we're supposed to grow up. And, he made them naked. Ahaz made them naked. He made them naked because he taught them to do evil against God and not to follow the ways of the Lord. I tell you, this 144,000 will walk into life all right, but that's a mighty small group out of all the thousands and all the millions and billions of people that there is in the earth. Because that's not all that's going to come into sonship. That's just the first fruits. There's a bountiful harvest out here. Believe me, I'd sure like to make the first fruits company. Everybody's a candidate that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have announced my candidacy all over the world. Everybody knows I'm a candidate. Now that's settled, what shall I do? I tell you, make my call in an election sure. Yeah, well, this church said we're rich and have plenty, we don't need anything. The Lord said, you're wrong, you're miserable, wretched, poor, blind and naked. My Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. Naked. Well, so let's turn back over to the third chapter of Genesis and look again here. And to further substantiate the way that we're teaching this. Ah, well, Adam here. Now, in the third chapter, the serpent approaches here and beguiles Eve and she eats of the forbidden fruit. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves, awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what man yet hopeth for that which he has. But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now here is Adam in the garden, the creature. He has been made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected Adam in hope, the same in hope Paul says. What is Adam's lot? Well, here he is in the garden, full grown, and Eve there, fully mature as far as being grown up is concerned, and they are tending the garden, and they have only one restriction in the whole life. Only one restriction. There are a lot of trees in that garden. And then there are a couple of specific trees. The lot of trees are just called the trees. Then the specific trees are the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. And Adam can eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge. And he has a promise that in the day he eats of that, he'll die. But this one will kill him. All the others, he could eat of the tree of life. He didn't eat of the tree of life, but he could have. It was available to him at that point. And here he is, a perfect man, but he's perfect under the covering of innocence. God's innocence. The spirit of innocence. And he's innocent because he hadn't been tested. The only test he's had is passing that tree of knowledge and remembering I ain't supposed to eat that. And so far he has refrained from doing that. But now the serpent beguiles Eve, and Paul says that Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. Being the weaker vessel, she was deceived. And Adam, and that's of course we know that's true. She was deceived, but if Adam wasn't deceived, well, what happened to him? He went into the fall. You remember the first time that he ever seen Eve. What did he say? I said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He became God's first prophet and prophesied that for this cause a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. When he failed, he simply fulfilled that portion of the prophecy. He left father and mother, which was God. God was only father and mother he had. He was both his father and mother, if you can receive it. And he followed his wife into the fall. His hope was, see, he was made subject to vanity, not by reason of choice, but by a hope that God had for him. Now let's see what happens to Adam. They eat of this fruit in the seventh verse. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They've been naked all time, as far as just not having been clothed with natural garments. But in the state of innocence, they didn't know it. It didn't matter. You can check this out with your own spirit. If you're real spiritual, if you'll be spiritual, you know, really get next to God and really live in a spiritual realm, things won't bother you much. I mean, you know, if I do some little misdemeanor, it won't bother you much, really. But if you get about half backslid and get to walking in the flesh, and I do the same thing, it'll just devastate you. Yeah? You didn't notice it when you were really spiritual. You got that forgiving spirit. You want him to forgive. But when you get backslid, you don't want to forgive nobody or nothing. You don't cut nobody any slack anywhere. Yeah? So make him responsible for his actions. Yeah. Well, so they, as long as they were spirit, they didn't know it. Innocence was here. Now, once they discovered they were naked, what was the response? It is. They sewed fig leaves together and made aprons for themselves. So once they discovered they was naked, they made them a covering. It's man-made, but it doesn't seem to trouble them until. It's going to trouble them, but it's not an immediate trouble. You see, man's covering, you know, man's idea of covering us in obedience and through obedience, it seems all right for a while. And this seemed all right to Adam and Eve. They had him a covering there, but then something happened. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" Yeah, nobody knew better than God did where he was. He just wanted to hear what Adam's going to say, or hear him say it. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And then God says, "Who told you?" Well, you wasn't afraid yesterday when I visited with you. You wasn't naked yesterday when he visited. Now, he made a covering that sufficed until the Lord appeared. When we see him, we'll be like him. So we'll see him as he is. Man's covering may very well suffice as long as we just want to be religious. And some have said, kindly, play church. And the real challenge hadn't come. But I tell you, if we depend on this, we'll lose out. We'll have to be covered with his righteousness. Because righteousness is faith. So God comes into the garden and finds them with their own covering. And what does he do? God goes in the 21st verse, "Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." All right? Now, what's happening here? This is the first projection of the innocent dying for the guilty. This is the first projection of Calvary, where our blessed Lord would the innocent would die for the guilty. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, brethren. Though he were rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Hallelujah. I tell you, the riches are there. But, you know, there are those that, you know, that says, well, everything's already harnessed in Jesus. They don't believe in deliverance because Jesus got deliverance for them. They don't believe in anything because they don't believe in anything because Jesus already has done it. I tell you, already in a truth, the provision has been made, but it hasn't been met with human initiative. God's sovereignty alone won't do it. God could do it, but he hasn't purpose to do it just by his sovereignty alone. He has purpose to do it through a blending of his sovereignty and human initiative. We have to initiate it. We have to make it happen. The provision is already there. He's paid the tab. The money is on deposit. Everything is on deposit. But unless we initiate it, it will not happen. Hallelujah. You can stay right where you are, on whatever plateau you are, whatever level, until you die. And yet there is provision for you to come to the zenith in God. But it'll take some human initiative, won't it? So God brings to Adam and Eve coats made out of skin. Death, sin has entered the garden now, and so the animals have been killed. That's death. The innocent, again, dying for the guilty. And then, here is God's grace. God's grace, when he found them naked, he covered them. He made them a covering. Here is his forgiveness. All right, this is God's love, God's grace. But remember that God is bound to his word and to his order. Let's read on. And the Lord, in verse 22, and the Lord said, behold, a man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And here comes verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Hallelujah. All right. In verse 21, God's grace covers them. Verse 23, on through and 24, God's government. Listen. In verse 21, God's grace forgives and covers them. But verse 23 and 24, God's government drives them out of the garden. No wonder John could say, we beheld in him both grace and truth. God's mercy, God's grace covering, God's government driving them out. They could no longer have access to the tree of life lest they eat of the tree of life in the sinful condition and live forever. Hallelujah. Adam has lost his purity, his innocence. Well, and the last Adam got it back. Hallelujah. You see, he lost his... God had what he wanted. I mean, right in the mouth of the gun, God's got just what he wants. In the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26, 20, let us make man in our own image and give him dominion over the works of our hand, over the works of our hand, God's speaking. He had an art. So he's got a man, what does he have? He's got a man in his image over his creation. What's God going to have at the close of this age? He's going to have a man in his image over his creation. Only this time, it's going to be a corporate body of sons of God, the man-child. God had a man in his image over his works. Now, that's God always does it that way. He showed us a picture of what he's going to do. And now, he didn't bother to tell us it'd take 6,000 years to do it. But he gave us the picture. When he speaks to Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis and promises to give him all of the land, everything that he can see, it's all yours, and gave him the boundary lines and made him a promise that he didn't bother to tell Abraham it would take 4,000 years to fulfill the promise. Hallelujah. But that doesn't make it void. He's still working toward it. God said to Abraham, look, and as far as you can see, all of it's yours. Then he told Joshua, and later he said, all that you can put your foot on is yours. You're in the promised land, but all that you can put your foot on. There's a vast difference in what you can put your foot on and what you can see. God is bringing the restrictions. What he is saying in essence is, here it is, now walk it out. And when you walk into this again, you'll be in the kingdom. But if God had, this is what will satisfy God, that God didn't make this man perfect through the spirit of innocence or by the principle of innocence. He wants a man as perfect as Adam was in the garden, but he doesn't want him to be perfect because he has lived in a state of innocence all of his life. He wants him to be perfect because he has overcome all things. Now, when he gets his last Adam and his Christ, when he brings him into this perfect state for the end of this age, he will be fully as perfect as the first Adam, even with some additions, but he will not have gained it through the spirit of innocence. He will have gained it through overcoming. You have to be an overcomer. To him that overcomes will I make to be a pillar in the house of my God, and he shall go no more out. He'll let the overcomer sit with him in his throne. All the promises are to the overcomer. And what is overcoming? Well, the simplest definition that I know is coming up over all them things that's been coming up over us. Amen. Well, let's get on top of them. Wow. Yeah, to reverse this thing. And be overcomers. Alright, so God drove him out of the garden and put an honor guard on the garden. He didn't drive him out. He was still in Eden, but he couldn't get back in the garden. And for those hundreds of years, nobody had access to the tree of life. But on that memorial day at Calvary, in the 23rd chapter of St. Luke, and verse 23 and 43, hear the thief that cries out here. He cries out in the 42nd verse. But up above that, there are two malefactors with the being crucified, one on either side of the blessed Lord. And one of them is railing against him in verse 39, saying, if you be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now here's his confession. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, the scope of the statement. If there are those that believe that Jesus is saying to this guy, you'll be in heaven with me today, I wouldn't want to take that away from you. Just let me say that in addition to that, then, that it has a far greater meaning than that. Hallelujah. What he is doing, what Jesus has said, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where is the paradise of God? And where is the tree of life? The tree of life is in the paradise of God, and Jesus is the tree of life. I tell you without reservation that on this memorial day, the honor guard that had been guarding the gate to the garden in Eden was withdrawn. Well, it was only a symbol, but it was withdrawn that day, thus signifying that when the blessed Lord had fulfilled the will of the Almighty God and had poured out his life on Calvary, access was made to the tree of life again. Now, since that day, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And with the tree of life, you have access to the tree of life. I don't know. He was speaking directly to the thief, but it was a statement that was universal. And since that day, we have all had access to the tree of life, if we would come and eat of the tree of life. Jesus said, if you eat of my flesh, hallelujah, and drink of my blood, well, he said, if you don't do that, you won't have any part in me. But he said, if you do this, you'll live forever. You'll live forever? Hallelujah. I like that. I like the thought of just living forever. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said to Martha on that memorable occasion at Bethany, said he had returned to Lazarus sick, and then he died, and they sent for Jesus, and Jesus, while he was sick, Jesus delayed his supper 4 days. Then he tells his disciples, well, we'll go back to Bethany now. Lazarus sleep. I said, well, if he sleeps, isn't that a good thing? The fever's probably broken. He's going to be all right. I said, he's dead. So they come back to Bethany, and Martha meets Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She said, oh, well, even now, though, I know, that you're the master of life. So, in essence. And Jesus said unto her, your brother will live again. Well, she said, I know that he'll rise in the last day at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he says to Martha, believest thou this? Ah, she said, yeah, Lord, I believe it. I believe you're the Christ. Yeah, isn't that simple? I believe. Yeah. Was it Job that asked the almost unanswerable question, if a man dies, will he live again? If you read all the book of Job, sometimes he talks like he thinks he will. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were already dead, he shall live again. And for you that haven't died yet, are still alive, if you can believe into me, you will never die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he said to Martha, do you understand all this theology and all the text? Oh, no, he didn't. He said, do you believe this? I'm glad he didn't ask us to understand all of this. He just asked us to believe it. And that's what we are, is believers. Hallelujah. And this is the only way that we will overcome. Hallelujah. If we get wrapped up in man's religion and don't ever have, a lot of people are just religious and have never had a real experience with him. They know that Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think that you have eternal life. These are they that speak of me. But he says, but you won't come to me. You just come as far as the scriptures. You will come to the personification of the scriptures. That's where the salvation is. If we persist in following just a religious order, we'll find in the end that our bed is shorter than we can stretch ourselves on. Isaiah chapter 20 and 28 and verse 20, I guess it is. The bed is shorter than we can stretch ourselves on, and the covering is narrow, too narrow to cover with. You ever try sleeping somewhere where you can't stretch out and trying to cover up with a raincoat? You're in for a miserable night, aren't you? I tried sleeping in the back seat of a car, full out in the park, and say, well, I'll sleep for 2 or 3 hours. getting there, and first thing you know, I wanted to stretch out, and that thing like 2.5 feet being long enough for me to stretch out. And I'm trying to cover him with my jacket. And I think, well, the bed's shorter than I can stretch in. It's narrower than will cover me. Well, if we persist in just man ideas and follow the least line of resistance, we'll find when the moment is crucial, we'll find the bed's too short. The cover is too narrow. And we have not made sufficient progress and preparation for the day that approaches us. But oh, I pray that it will not be the lot of any of us. I wish we could all meet on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. He has made us a nation. Well, he didn't get them very far, and he stated his purpose. I'm going to make you a nation, this nation of kings and priests. Make you a whole nation, kings and priests. And then in Revelation, he tells us that he's making us. He's made us a nation. Made us kingdom, a kingdom of priests. Yeah. Now, the King James says kings and priests, but the real statement is he's made us a kingdom of priests. We are priests under him. Hallelujah. And whatever we do, we don't want to forget whose priests we are. And we hallelujah. And we're going to overcome and come to Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the next big happening on the agenda in God's timetable is a select group will walk into life, and that starts everything rolling. Then the great tribulation begins, and the first resurrection takes place, and then it's ever man in his own order. Jesus is the first resurrection, and everybody else in his own order. Oh, hallelujah. It's a lofty calling, and a mighty small percentage will go in at this straight and narrow way. It'll take a dedication like we have only dreamed of. We just haven't made the preparations for it. We haven't been taught. Well, I always say the teacher hasn't taught until the pupil has learned. Hallelujah. We're just teaching until then. But when you have learned, I have taught. Yeah. And the Lord only counts that to be doers. If we don't, you know, he wants us to be doers. That's what he wants us to be. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. I want to bless you in Jesus' name this night. Hallelujah. Our Father, tonight, I'm going to invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people that have sat under the sound of our voice tonight. I invoke choice blessings for them, O Lord. My Lord, may you shower them with the good things that belong to thee, O Lord. Great God, may you open up our spirit of understanding, the spirit of revelation, and feed us on things that will cause us to grow into the blessed kingdom. Our God, you're merciful tonight. My Lord, are you ever mindful of yours, and we appreciate your goodness toward us tonight. My Lord and our God, I tell you a truth, saith the Lord, yea, even tonight, he that would hear the words of the kingdom and would just forget them, I should liken him unto a man that built his house on the sands. And then came the storms and the winds and the hail, and that house fell, and it was a great destruction. But to him that would hear the words of the kingdom, yea, and cherish them in your heart, yea, and he that would endeavor to be obedient to the gospel of the kingdom of God, I shall liken him unto a man that built his house on a rock. And then come the storms, yea, and the winds blow, the hail beat, and that house stood, and great was the splendor of that house. Have you not read, saith the Lord, that the latter house shall be greater than the former house, saith the Lord? Have you not read, and do you not know tonight, that you are the house of the Lord? Yea, you are mine own habitation, saith God. Yea, I have built me a temple out of living stones, saith the Lord, which stones you are. Yea, therefore, you are my life in the earth today. Yea, you are my voice in the earth today. I tell you that it is time to sound the trumpet. Yea, blow the alarm and make sure that the trumpet is making a definite sound, saith the Lord. Yea, for I'm calling on a people for a life of dedication and consecration, saith the Lord. Yea, I'm calling for holiness. Yea, I speak not of holiness legalistically so, but I'm talking about that that will come from your heart. Yea, for deep shall call unto deep, and holiness shall be birthed in your spirit, and you shall know that you are touched by the Most High, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, it is time that you would draw nigh with a true heart unto me. And as you draw unto me, I'll draw you unto myself. Yea, I tell you a truth, saith the Lord. It is your move now. As near as you will draw to me, I will draw to you. I'll let you gauge the distance yourself, saith the Lord thou God. For you are my people, called out from among the masses. Yea, I call thee for a special purpose and into a special calling, saith the Lord. I shall anoint thee with the oil of gladness. Yea, and I shall cause thee to be a joyful people, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall give thee the wine of joy and the oil of gladness. Yea, and you shall rejoice in the position that the Lord has placed you. Yea, be sensitive to the Lord. Lend your spirit to Him. Yea, and He'll whisper in your ear, and you will know of the truth that the Lord is talking to thee. Yea, think it not a strange thing that God would speak to His people, saith the Lord. Yea, for always God hath spoken one way or another. Yea, God has had many approaches and many ways that He has spoken, but He has chosen in these last days to speak to His blessed Son, saith the Lord. Yea, and I inspire my prophets. I inspire mine apostles. Yea, I inspire my people, yea, to move, to speak a prophetic word, yea, and speak the essence of the shadow into existence. Yea, and you shall live and not die, saith the Lord thou God. Ye shall live and be strong. I shall make your days many, and your strength will match your days, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I shall make you to be replenished. Yea, I shall make you fat and flourishing in the land of the living. Yea, thou shalt bring forth fruit in old age, be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is good, and in Him is no unrighteousness at all. Yea, arise and shine forth, for the glory of the Lord rest upon you. The Shekinah anointing of His glory rest upon thee now, and exploits you will do. Yea, that you will be amazed at your own experience, at your own observation, saith the Lord thou God. For I shall move mightily through my people. The day has come, and I shall declare a moving among my people. Expect that great things will happen, yea, not in the far-off future, but in today. And then tomorrow, expect great things will happen. I tell you, you would be unwise to assume that things will continue as they are now for an indefinite period. For the Lord thou God has begun already to do a quick work. And thou shalt see the works of the Lord in the land of the living. And thou shalt say, Amen. Hallelujah. It is the Lord. And we have waited for thee. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Itarianda hola, Ilalanda, O my Lord and our God, O my Lord and our God, my Lord and our God. Praise the Iosias, Ia, O my Sian, the Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Messiah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, I'm through.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.